especially say welcome this morning to Crust. I have no idea what that means. I just speak in tongues. I need an interpreter. I want to direct your attention this morning to a passage of Scripture. If you want to follow along in your own Bible or in the text in front of you, I'm going to be reading from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. And I'd like to read a reasonably good portion of this chapter, so I invite your attention to the reading of God's sacred word. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Out of those 20 verses, I'd like to lift out verse 11 as my text for this morning. The Lord told him, that is Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Or I believe other translations render something like, go to the house of Judas on the street called Straight. I think the original inspiration for this message this morning came to me a couple of years ago when I was in San Francisco on Lombard Street. Some of you are catching on more slowly than others. Lombard Street, if you've ever visited San Francisco, sometimes referred to as Bible Town, at least a portion of Lombard Street is supposed to be the crookedest, the most crooked street in the world. And as I was walking down Crooked Street, I thought about Straight Street. And my topic for this morning is a street called Straight and a college called Asbury. A street called Straight and a college called Asbury. There are a lot of famous streets. There are many cities whose claim to fame is that they are identified with a famous street. Fifth Avenue in New York City. Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. Downing Street in London. The Champs-Élysées in Paris. The Autobahns in Germany. Main Street in Nicholasville. And the reason why I titled my presentation what I have this morning, I apologize for you, my sisters and brothers. Can you hear me okay? Bless you. Okay. Is I want to suggest to you that the five things or so that happened to Paul on or near the street called Straight also happened to people at a college called Asbury. And so I'm just going to lift out about five things that bubbled somewhere to the surface in my reading of these 20 verses from Acts chapter 9. And I would like to suggest to you, in the very first place, and perhaps most important of all, is that it was a street on which a person had a life-changing, life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. Things like that happen on a street called Straight and at a college called Asbury. Most of you will recall the circumstances. Saul of Tarsus, as he is known, is heading north to Damascus. A trip of some 150 miles that probably took the better part of a week. And while he comes within eyesight of his destination, at noon, suddenly, I love the word suddenly. And suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the things I remember from my Western classics, one of the few lines I remember from my sophomore days, 1960-something back there, and why I remember these two lines, I don't know, but maybe it's a part of my testimony. But these two lines, I think they're from Wordsworth. They go something like this. He looked at her and she looked at him and suddenly life awoke. Well, thank you, Jesus. And suddenly a light from heaven sends Saul of Tarsus onto all fours, blinded by that brilliant light. Now, I have in my library a couple of commentators, and I have the books for one reason. They're about 10% good, 90% not so good. The 10% makes it worth the whole book. And in one of these books, which I was reading for today, the particular commentator said, now let me explain what really happened. And he said, what really happened is that what happened to Saul of Tarsus on this day is that he suffered some kind of a seizure. That under the pressure of the moment, he just had some kind of a near-fatal seizure. To which all I can say is, oh, blessed epilepsy, if it produces a conversion like this. Another commentator I read said this, and please let this go in one ear and out the other. So what really happened, when anybody says what really happened, have your radar up, ladies and gentlemen. What really happened is that in the heat of the day, Paul suffered from a sunstroke. And I accept that if you will allow me to spell sun, S-O-N. It was a street on which a person was gloriously converted. And Asbury College is a place where over the years, individuals have had life-transforming encounters with Jesus Christ. But that's not all that happened. It was not only a street on which a person was gloriously converted by Jesus Christ, but it was a street on which that person was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 tells us, in the reading that I gave to you, that Ananias comes to Paul, or to Saul, as he still identifies him, and says to him, the Lord has sent me to you so that you may see again and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Things like that happen on a street called Straight and at a college called Haskell. I was challenged anew, reading through all of the cases in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit comes. And help me out, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm out in left field. But this is the conclusion I draw from it. That almost every time the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, it is a group experience more than it is an individual experience. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. 4:31, and after they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they all received the Spirit. Chapter 10, verse 44, I love this one. While Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard. Imagine the gall of the Holy Spirit to interrupt my sermon. And the only exception to that that I can find is in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. But even there, it was while the individual was surrounded by other believers. I wonder if the coming of the Holy Spirit can still be a group experience. Or is it just an individual experience? Is it possible? Is it possible? Maybe not. Maybe not. But is it possible? Let me pick out the junior class. Is it possible that there could be a wind of the Spirit blow upon the entire junior class so that we could say the Holy Spirit came on all of them? The Holy Spirit came on all of them. Is it possible? Now, maybe you might say when I give you what I'm about to say, well, I believe in miracle, but not too much miracle. Is it possible that when the faculty are meeting in assembly, that the Holy Spirit could blow upon all of us and fill all of us and energize and baptize all of us? Was a street on which a person was filled with the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it was a street on which an individual was not only converted and not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was a street on which an individual began to discover what the will of God for his life was. Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go to Saul, and this is what I want you to tell him. I want you to tell him that I have chosen him, that I have chosen him as a vessel who will bear my name before kings and before nations and before the Gentiles, and tell him all the things he will suffer for the sake of my name. And that's the very first inkling that Saul of Tarsus got, what the will of God would be for his life. And I suggest to you, things like that happen on a street called Straight and at a college called Asbury. This past summer, during our alumni weekend, we had hundreds of alumni back. One of the classes was back here, was the class of 1977. And I don't know whether the other senior faculty would agree with me, but in my personal judgment, in my 26th, now in my 27th year at Asbury, I believe the class of 1977 is the most outstanding class I've ever seen. And part of the faculty, part of the alumni reunion is all the classes break up for a session on Saturday afternoon, and they simply get together and talk and share and get caught up in each other's history. And they were back for the reunion of 1977. And I remember this is how the senior class president started off this time. He started off, I thought, rather negatively. He said, you're free to say anything you want to say. If you want to put in a good word about Asbury, put it in. If you want to put in a negative word about Asbury, put it in. And I said, come on, man, give me a break. And then he said himself, he said, I don't like the person I've becoming for the last 20 years since I graduated from Asbury. And he said, maybe you feel that way and maybe you don't, but if you do, you can feel free to share those kinds of things too. First guy got to his feet, Ted Faye. You guys remember Ted Faye? You've been around here for a while. Tremendous, tremendous skills in acting. But he left this place, and I could see him already moving away from his commitment to God. Moved on to Hollywood, got a master's degree in theater, I think at UCLA. Got caught up in that scene and literally pushed God out of his life. Well, he's the one who got up and spoke. And he looked at the president of his class, and he said, you may not like what you've become, but I want to thank God for what I've become. He said, 2 years ago, I was the prodigal son. I turned against everything that Asbury stood for. And I was so caught up in myself and the worship of me. He said, I went to Andre Crouch's church in downtown Los Angeles. He spoke on the prodigal son. He was preaching to me. He said, I came back to Christ. And he said, I'm here to share with you, my classmates, of what God has done in the last year and a half of my life. And then Lisa Friedman got up. Lisa Friedman, 1977. Now Lisa Friedman Owsley. I'll never forget what she said. She said, I've been out of college now for 20 years. And I've had some good times, and I've had some bad times in those 20 years. But she said, you know, everything that's happened to me in the last 20 years was determined by commitments that I made at this altar when I was a student here. She said, the things that God did in my life as a student, and the things He showed me, have been the anchors of the last 20 years of my life. On a street called Straight and a college called Asbury, there are some of you who will begin to discover what the will of God is for your life. Fourth thing that happened, I got to get going here. It was a street on which a person was converted, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to discover the will of God for his life. But fourthly, it was a street on which a person found a new family, the family of God. Do you remember what Ananias said when he came to Paul? He said, Brother Saul. You know, no one had ever called him brother before. Isn't it amazing that you don't have to be among new Christians very long until you recognize that you're family? You know, this is part of chapel, isn't it? It's the time when the family comes together. We're family. I remember a few years ago flying back to Lexington from a speaking engagement on a Delta jet. The seat in front of me was unoccupied. And the flight attendant served the passengers in the cabin. And she came back, and since there was, after she'd taken care of everybody, she said, "What do you do?" I said, I teach at a small school in central Kentucky. She threw her hands up in the air, and she said, "I think Asbury College is the greatest place in the world." I said, "Hey, wait a minute. How do you know I don't teach at Transy? Or at Berea? Or maybe at Center?" And furthermore, after she had served all of the other passengers, she came back and kept waiting on me, and I think before the flight was over, I had 8 extra bags of peanuts, 7 extra Cokes, and when I got home for supper that night, I had not one but 2 bottles of Pepto-Bismol. It's like we knew each other all our life. We met on a flight, and we were brother and sister. Things like that happen at Asbury, at a college called Asbury, and at a street called Straight. And last of all, it was a street on which that person became a vital, dynamic witness for his Lord Jesus Christ. The last verse I read says, "And immediately Paul began to preach and teach and talk about Jesus Christ." Things like that happen on a street called Straight and at a college called Asbury. And I've asked Amy to lead us in a concluding chorus. You will probably know the words. I'm sure you will not even need to know it, but she'll tell us what it is. And we'll sing this through a couple of times, and then we'll dismiss. But the altar is always open, as it is in any chapel, for any of you visitors as well, parents as well, who feel in need a prompting of the Spirit to come and pray this morning. Amy, number 7, change my heart, O God. Yeah, number 7. Change my heart, O God.